For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like your green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Hi, this is Jay from the Power Mall. I'm here to talk with you today about one of our most powerful products that does not get enough recognition. That product is Blockbuster All Clear by Good Health Naturally. Blockbuster is a blend of proteolytic enzymes and antioxidants, which combine serrapeptase and natokinase with digestive enzymes, antioxidants, pine bark extract, oh, and much more. The unique combination of these ingredients have been carefully selected to provide powerful support for a range of health conditions, with particular benefit to heart and cardiovascular. Kidney health is another area that benefits from targeted enzyme support, as there is a close link between cardiovascular system and kidney function. If you'd like to learn more about this powerful product, give me a call today, 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I have a good friend with me here today. She has been taking the calcium bentonite clay that she purchased from the Power Mall for many, many years now. And I asked her to sit with me and explain to the listeners what she uses the clay for.
Thanks. So just to let me know, we use it on a daily basis. I will put a teaspoon of calcium bentonite clay into a glass of water and drink it before bed for detox. We've done weekly foot soaks for my husband who has diabetes. We use it for facials. I use it once a week for my clay bath detox. We've used it on spider bites, insect bites, and I've also used it for the swelling in my ankle after surgery.
Oh, yes, I do remember when you had the surgery. To order the clay, please call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour is an independent radio show. We are funded by people who appreciate our work, not by ads or algorithms. Your support is key to the continuation of this broadcast. To show your support so that we can continue to bring you unbiased information that is now more vital than ever, please visit thepowerhour.com and click Support Us. You can also place a donation by phone by calling 877-817-9829. We thank you for any amount of support that you're able to give. For questions or comments about today's broadcast, please feel free to email us at support@thepowerhour.com or call 877-817-9829 and select option number 2. We'd love your show feedback and guest recommendations, so please feel free to reach out and be a part of the Power Hour team.
The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers.
listeners. The Power Hour is back. Alan Myers here, joined right now with Brady. Brady, welcome to the Power Hour.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. We are waiting for Dougie. He's apparently waking up from a nap, so we hope he'll be here soon. I'll get some housekeeping done before we get into our first wackadoodle news. First, if you want to call in, do we take callers?
We do.
All right. Call the number 844-769-2944. Press 1. One more time, 844-769-2944. Press 1. Since the Power Hour is 100% listener supported, we need your donations. Please call 877-817-9829. One more time, 877-817-9829. And if you go to the Power Mall, you can get 5% off of most purchases. All right, Brady, we're here. This is going to be kind of an introduction to, I think, our topic today, our main topic, which we'll get after the break. Did you notice the show disclaimer? They think you and I and Doug are going to be controversial. Is that crazy?
That is.
But we'll just accept it.
Yeah, I would never say anything remotely unorthodox.
Not without a smile and a smirk. Okay. Now, the topic we're going to get to today involves the constitutionality of somebody's anti-free market policies. But before we get there, this is a little wackadoodle, and that is that Kamala, I believe that's the proper pronunciation, or I should say VP Harris, has a price gouging plan. That's not she wants it. She wants to stop it. And who she's blaming in part are the grocery stores. Their prices are too high. And when I started thinking about – and this proposal also includes cutting taxes, at least for some, boosting housing construction, and a federal – this is the kicker – a federal ban on grocery price gouging. Okay. I know you know the Constitution better than I do, and if Doug was here, I'd ask him first. Please help me find where in the Constitution – and look, I've got my pocket Constitution with me. Help me find where in the Constitution the federal government was given the authority, the power, the duty to ban price gouging.
Well, if I've got my Constitution online, and if you do a word search for the word commerce, it is mentioned exactly twice. One is in Article 1, Section 8, where it says they can regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes. Mm-hmm. And the second spot you find it is Article 1, Section 9, when it talks about no preference shall be given to any regulation of commerce, et cetera, et cetera. Doesn't say anything about fixing prices. In fact, they intended a free market system where supply and demand would determine prices.
When they said they said regulate commerce, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know from the Second Amendment that regulate means put in good order.
This is Doug's topic, and he has joined us, so why don't we let him jump all over. What does regulate mean, Doug?
Dougie, you're awake. Way to go. We're so happy to see you.
It got in for a two-week trip last night, so there you go.
I don't know what you heard, so let me set it up again. And when we come back from the bottom of the hour break, we are going to spend time on the quote-unquote anti-free market policies of you-know-who. But one of the things being suggested by VP Harris is a proposal for a federal ban on grocery price gouging. And I asked the war hamster, where in the Constitution was this power, authority, duty given to the federal government?
Doug, your volume's coming in and out. We didn't get a mic check from you. It partially works, but I'm getting every other word there. While he's fixing that, Alan, let me just talk about price gouging.
Please.
So if you could take a look at about the 20-year historical record, the profit margins of the grocery industry, you'll see people saying they're making gross margins of 20%.
No.
I don't care about their gross margins. Their net margins historically have been about 1.5 to 2%.
Let me jump in because it's for some people who won't get it. Excuse me one second. Please give us the difference between gross margin and net.
Well, with gross is with net, you have to add in all of your expenses. So it's how much you actually keep. Gross is an accounting. It's got its uses in terms of business modeling, but net margins what really counts. What it tells us is these grocery chains like Kroger, who are doing 1.6% in the last year, they're not gouging a darn thing. If their prices go up, they've got to stay in business, which I think it's good that we're able to get food from week to week. They have to raise prices in line with their expenses. So if outside influences like inflation or higher, minimum wage, and things like that that hurts their input costs, their outputs are going to go up. Gouging would implicate that their profit margins are going up. Nothing of the sort is happening.
Thank you for that. And it's the use of the word, and Doug's back, so we'll get to him in a moment. It's the use of the word gouging. I mean, gouging comes with a lot of negative in various forms, and depending on what we're talking about. When you're talking about price gouging, it's as if these companies are stealing from you, when what they're really doing is they're increasing their prices because their costs across the board, whether it's their help, energy, cost of goods, you name it, they're paying a lot. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Still got no volume, Doug, unfortunately. What's funny is they like to, obviously they like to demonize these evil corporations. Yeah, these are the same corporations that, most of their contributions these days are going to the Democrat Party. And the Democrats love to demonize them so they can, basically say, raise taxes on the rich so everyone pays their fair share. And of course, that's just populist rhetoric.
Let me interrupt for a moment. Doug, maybe can you go to your regular thing, or do you always use the mic? Unplug it, plug it in. Is the volume on?
Well, let's see if we can bring them back during the break.
Okay. Or last thing before we move on. But you can hear us, is that correct? Okay. Maybe Todd can help you. Anyway, let's move on. Thank you. We want you here, Doug. Trust me. Okay. Let's go to the next bit of wackadoodle news that I have, because I know you have something. And I'm going to bring this up, and then Brady, you can bring, because you have one on solar. Is that correct?
I do.
Okay.
And it ties into today's theme too, so you'll like it.
Well, this is something I recently saw last week, and I consider this wackadoodle. The title of the article is, are you sitting down?
I am.
Hold on. Here we go. Huge increase in coral produces third year of record highs on the Great Barrier Reef. Great Barrier Reef, abbreviated GBR. Apparently, this is the third year, 2023 to 2024, fiscal year, August to June, that, why isn't it July? But anyway, the Great Barrier Reef, which is about 1,500 miles long, and it has warmer waters in the northern part, cooler in the south. This is the highest level since detailed observations began. Wait a minute, aren't we being told coral's dying out?
We have been told that for about 20 years straight.
Right. Well, this report comes from the Australian Institute of Marine Science, AIMS, and they have been issuing reports over the last 38, 40 years. And according to this article, they're saying the temperatures are really high, but what do you know? The coral reefs are doing exceptionally well. Now, I'm going to see if I can find his name. Okay, here it is. This is what I'll cap it with. A distinguished scientist named Dr. Peter Ridd, R-I-D-D, has studied the Great Barrier Reef for 40 years. You think he's got a little history on this?
He might.
Okay. And he notes the coral numbers have, quote-unquote, exploded in recent years. He says that all 3,000 reefs in the world's largest system have excellent coral. Not a single reef or even a single species of reef life has been lost since British settlement. In his view, the public is being deceived about the reef. How this occurred is a serious issue for the reef science community, which has embraced emotion, ideology, and raw self-interest. Why? What do we always follow? We don't follow the science. What do we follow?
The facts.
The money. Self-interest to maintain funding. That is Dr. Peter Ridd's thoughts. Had you heard anything about this?
Well, absolutely. As you know, I'm a pretty avid scuba diver who've been all over the world, although I have not been to the GBR.
Wait a minute. Who has been to the GBR?
Quite a few people.
Including?
What am I missing?
Me.
Oh, that's right. You're lording that over my head again. No, it's interesting. So I know a little bit about the ocean and reefs because, you know, you dive on reefs because that's where most of the sea life is. It's important. It turns out that reef growth is cyclical, and it's impacted by much more than carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which is what they lead you to believe, which is causing warming, which is causing bleaching. There is a reef that's in a lot of danger right now, and that's in the Caribbean, the second biggest barrier reef in the world. And that's because mankind decided to fly animals away from their natural habitat. In this case, it is called the lionfish. They escaped some aquariums in Florida. You have an invasion in all throughout the Caribbean, all the way up as far north as New Jersey, of lionfish. And lionfish are voracious predators who have no predators of their own who naturally eat lionfish. They're beautiful, beautiful. But what they do is they wipe out all the life on the reef, and the reef is retracting there. Now, going back to the Great Barrier Reef,
So the fault or the responsibility or the loss of coral life and activity is not due to CO2. It is due to one particular fish basically killing everything. Is that about it?
Yeah, pretty much. It eats the larva of other things, and nothing eats its larva. It's got a poisonous mucus. Lionfish is fascinating. They eat like twice their body weight every single day. When they give a litter, which is like every 90 days, somewhere around there, it's like 30,000 eggs are laid. They are voracious. They're a magnificent animal in their natural habitat, which I've seen in the Philippines. But going back to the Great Barrier Reef, I knew that everything was cyclical there because there is an invasive species there, too. It's called the crown of thorns starfish. and they will get on reef and they will suffocate it. And they basically, their populations ebb and flow over different cycles, sometimes as long as 75 years. Mm. Well, they've got recorded history of the reefs in that part of the Pacific expanding and contracting based on the population of the crown of thorns starfish, which are currently hitting the reef in the Philippines right now.
Now, is the crown of thorns starfish, is it sensitive to CO2 levels?
If it is, they've never complained.
Well, maybe we need to get a group of people to go chat with them about this. All right. Doug is back. Doug, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
We can hear you. We just finished up some Great Barrier Reef stuff. Would you like to comment on what we said earlier about the price gouging?
Yes. And as a constitutionalist, I'm sorry, my mic worked on Saturday, no problem. I don't know what's going on with it. But anyway, such is life.
Let me interrupt one thing, just so you know. We're going to spend the second half of the show on this topic. So have a few words, or should we go on?
Well, go on with your next topic, because I have a feeling federalism, enumeration doctrine, state sovereignty, and those are the three keys here when it comes to what we're talking about coming to play. Well, let me say this real quick, because you were talking about where the Constitution to give that authority, and I hope the listener understands that constitutionally, the federal government only has an authority if it's listed in the Constitution. The states have authorities if it's not given to the federal government and they're not prohibited to do something. So if there was an authority anywhere for wage control and price control and things like that, each individual state, and the idea was that the states are can act as little laboratories. And if a state tries to do something and it works really well, and the other state, it's like a free market system, and the other states will take up that issue and try it themselves. If a state does something that's really dumb, then it will fall apart. Now, that said, what we're talking about is socialism, utopianism, communitarianism, so on and so forth. So we also have to remember this. It calls for every state. The Constitution calls for every state to have a Republican form of government, to be a republic. So the question is, if a state were to take off on an economic socialistic path, does that violate that? Now, to get back to the topic at hand, which is the price gouging, quote, price controls constitutional? For the federal government to do it? Absolutely not. There's no authority. There's no authority given. There are authorities given regarding our monetary system in the sense of creating money, Article 1, Section 8, or regulating commerce between the states, meaning put in good order. In other words, the word regulate, today we think it means control or restrict. If you look at the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and if you look at the debates of the time, and you read the debates and what they were talking about, what they meant, what commerce, when it comes to interfering with commerce between states, was meant in the Constitution was for the federal government to act as a mediator. In other words, as long as commerce was flowing, it was none of the federal government's business. Federal government was only supposed to get involved if there was a dispute that cross state lines. That's the only time they're supposed to get involved with commerce. So that doesn't allow that idea of price control. There's just no authority there at all in the Constitution. And as Brady, which I caught earlier, was talking about, is also it's damaging to a system. And let me say this real quick. That's when I was on my trip. We kept coming across signs because we came down the Oregon coast to return. We kept different places. We went into wilderness spots and, you know, Lewis and Clark Trail and different lighthouses. And there was these signs all over the place. Do not feed the wildlife. And I'm sure you've seen that. Don't feed the wildlife. Don't feed the bears, things like that. You know why? Because if you feed them, they will stop working to feed themselves. They'll expect to be fed. Isn't that what this is really all about? The government trying to do for everybody? I'm not even talking about the economic impact. Just that. Well, just like the universal basic income that I was just alerted about that we're going to be voting on here in Oregon in November. It's giving everybody something. You give everybody something, the will to take care of yourself goes out the window, and it always, always historically destroys civilizations.
And
because
the
people give up on taking care of them. Go ahead.
I would make the argument that price fixing was one of the major causes of the American Revolution in the first place.
Oh, absolutely. Mercantilism. Absolutely. We're tied into mercantilism. You can only buy British products, and you can only pay our prices.
You can only buy British products. You could only sell to Britain. And, you know,
you could only trade using British currency, because we had the colonies had a currency based on tea, which is one of the main reasons the British East India Company made us buy their tea to flood the market and destroy our currency.
And to show how serious Britain was about this, because we're about to come to the bottom of the hour break, that writ of assistance, which was basically a general search warrant. And if you held the writ of assistance, you could go anywhere at any time to search for anything. And I believe the Fourth Amendment was a response to having the writ of assistance. And that goes way back.
All right. Do I have a couple seconds here?
I'm going to say with you a couple of – no. We're coming to the bottom of the end break. We're going to wait for the music. And when we come back, Brady, Alan, Doug, the Bad Boys of Radio will return with some great information. We'll be right back.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646. uscoincapital.com.
Discover the benefits of vitamin B17 and its potential role in supporting overall health and well-being with our Power Hour partner, Richardson Nutritional Center. Their natural bitter apricot seeds and vitamin B17 capsules have high levels of B17, also known as amygdalin, which is a naturally occurring compound found in plant-based sources. At Richardson Nutritional Center store, they prioritize your health and satisfaction. Their Laetril vitamin B17 capsules are carefully manufactured under strict quality standards to ensure purity and potency. Buy Laetril B17 capsules or bitter apricot seeds today and embark on a natural journey towards wellness. To order, visit thepowerhour.com, click on the Partners tab, or call us at 877-817-9829.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We are what we eat, what we drink, and what we breathe, and how we think. However, it is most important how we think so that we make the appropriate decisions on what we eat, drink, and breathe, says Dr. Eric Llewellyn, Holistic Advisory Board member of the Royal Society of Health in the UK. Only Grown by Nature offers true, organic, whole food supplements that have been proven by multiple peer-reviewed studies to be superior in not only absorption, but retention, and most importantly, utilization within our bodies. The marketing is supported by a foundation of truth in supplementation. Grown by Nature offers and delivers to you and your body whole food nutrients that are lacking in today's diets. To order, call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
We are back. The Bad Boys of Radio, Brady, Alan, Doug. Welcome back to the Power Hour. Before we get into our main topic today, a little housekeeping. If you want to call in, we'll take it. And I'll read this number so Doug can write it down. 844-769-2944. Press 1. You got that, Doug? All right.
I think you said 2-9 a little quick. You want to go one more time?
No, you just said it, so we're good. To make a donation to help the Power Hour, 100% listener supported, 877-817-9829. Check out the Power Mall. They're offering 5% on most purchases. Again, welcome back to the Power Hour. Before we get into our main topic, Brady, you got one last bit of wackadoodle news.
Yeah, it should segue right into the general topic we're talking about. You know, you talked about Great Barrier Reef, and we discussed how human intervention, government intervention, messes with the ecology. Well, it's the exact same thing is the case with the economy, and this story hits on both. So this is an article from the American Thinker just today, and they point out that on Sunday, August 25th, Forbes magazine, relatively reputable, wrote a puff piece talking about a solar maker by the name of, wait, I have it right here, Meyer Burger. They're out of Switzerland. And Meyer Burger is promising, based on the Inflation Reduction Act, they took a lot of our taxpayer dollars, and they're going to start production, spend a lot of money in Colorado to build solar panels. And they expected between their two facilities that have nearly 1,000 American jobs, et cetera. And they were very excited about this exciting new technology and the great investment in a business from our government. Well, yesterday, one day later, Reuters runs an article that discusses how they're shutting down the entire plant. And they're moving everything to with the existing plant in Arizona, which will not be able to compete either. So the entire multi-billion dollar investment is gone because they can't keep up with the Chinese slave labor prices. So another government boondoggle for green posturing. And it happened in one day.
Didn't we see this before? What's the name of the company? I'm thinking
Solyndra.
Solyndra.
No, that's not the only other time it's happened. It happens every single time.
What I'm wondering is, we're talking about the federal government, right? We're talking about the home of the experts. Yet they don't seem to be able to get this right. So, do we applaud them for the willingness to continue on despite the lack of ability? Or is this a message to we the people? We need to get back involved in how our federal government is being run. What do you think, Brady, and then Doug?
Well, I think the message is loud and clear, but the politicians will never hear it because, once again, we have a mercantilist system where the people who get into office get there because the people who paid for them to be there want something from them. These are government handouts. They do not work. It is worse than socialism. It is crony capitalism, and it's mercantilism.
I wish they I understand the term crony capitalism. I just wish capitalism wasn't in that phrase, because people who are socialist-minded, or worse, they do not like capitalism. And anything that goes wrong, they blame on capitalism.
Doug, does the word capitalism show up in the Constitution?
No, in fact, it didn't even show up until Marx was alive, because he created it as an ism so that he could make the free market look bad.
Yeah, Adam Smith did not talk about capitalism. He talked about free and fair markets. That's what the Founding Fathers discussed in Philadelphia.
Exactly.
The word capitalism is a made-up construct. It's a boogeyman.
Right.
Well,
I almost never use that term. I prefer to say free market. That's what you'll hear me say.
Last thing, and then we'll move on. For me, because I've looked up the definition that has been assigned that made-up word, and it's the private ownership of property, means of production. Emphasis, private ownership, which leads into, of course, the free market. Do people do better when they try really hard, and if they succeed, they benefit? Or do people do better when everybody just gets the same, which is communism?
It goes back to feeding the animals, like I talked about in that first segment. And when it comes to this kind of thing, we have to understand the Harris regime. So, in other words, communists, they hate private ownership. They hate individualism. They hate you being able to voluntarily make your own decisions. They hate possession, because that's all a part of it. And so how are they going to destroy it? Well, it all comes down. The reason why this company, in other words, couldn't compete with the Chinese, it's not just because of the wages and because the left will tell you, well, you know, they're paying so little in price, so the little kids are, that's a part of it. But what that is, that's the cost of doing business. So how do you compete if the wages can't get that low? You then reduce the other costs of doing business. You know, corporate taxes. Oh, wait, she wants to raise it to 28%, or regulatory expenses, and so on and so forth. The cost of doing business. That's what it comes down to, the cost of doing business. And when you have a high cost of doing business, the prices are going to go up. Simple as that, because because they've got to have some type of profit margin. Grocery stores are what, 1.2% profit margin?
About 1.5%
And they're gouging?
Yeah.
1.5%? Hey, okay.
Doug, hold on to that. We have a caller. Caller, welcome to
the
program.
Good morning.
State your name for everybody, please.
My name is Sherry. And
hi, Sherry.
Instead of asking you all to define capitalism, let me just tell you what problems I have with what seems to be called capitalism. And you can tell me if I'm way off base or something. The problem I see is that a certain group of people get to create money out of nothing, lend it first to their cronies, you know, certain people get that money first, and they're injecting money into the system. They do not create the money to pay the interest. And as far as I can tell, this is part of what they call capitalism, and this is why we have inflation.
Yeah, it's not capitalism, that's mercantilism.
Yeah, the mercantilist system is where the corporations or the connected few will form cartels across industries or even in the same industries so they can control the government to make regulation that benefits them and eliminates competition. And then the factors you're describing filter on down. They're the ones who are closest to where the money is created. They benefit from the inflation. The rest of us suffer from it.
Yeah, true capitalism is laissez-faire, where the government has no interference. The market takes care of its own. The market forces take care of its own self. It self-regulates. Now, should there be minimal laws here and there at the state level or something like that? Sure. But for the most part, true capitalism is the market being left alone by government. Our problem is not capitalism. Our problem isn't even big corporations. The problem is when these forces and government collude together. And that's what creates mercantilism, is when they begin to collude together. Government and the market forces have no business interacting in that manner, colluding together. And that's what we have with crony capitalism. And true capitalism does not have that aspect as a part of it.
Yeah, the old idea of privatizing the profits and socializing the losses, that is far from any kind of a free market or any kind of capitalism whatsoever. That is socialism. That's what we have today. So anyone who complains about today's capitalist system, you know, probably ought to take one more class, because it is not capitalism.
Sherry,
I call it creditism.
That's pretty good.
Well, it's not. I didn't invent that. I heard someone say that, and the other thing is that you know, you can't put $2 bills or two digits, and they will reproduce. We need a system that is based on commodities or something real intangible that gets produced, you know, from labor. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Byron Dale, but I think he was one of the greatest economists we had in modern times, and he was a rancher because he actually, you know, right now we have people that don't do any labor benefiting off the people that do actually create stuff. Mine, farm.
There's no incentive, and there's too many penalties. The incentive of doing well for yourself without regulatory issues in the way, where you can, the sky's the limit, people respond to that. When people respond to that and they start making more product, it creates more jobs. That's once again how the free market on its own works. We've got, you know, too many too many obstacles put out there by government, too many costs to doing business, and not any incentive. And you start doing things like, you know, it goes back to my, you know, don't feed the animals. If there's no incentive, you're not going to do the work. We don't have people doing the work. There's no incentive. They're being given too much, or there's a penalty for doing too much. And in both cases, you kill the free market. And that's exactly what they're doing. But they want to do that because they want to move us towards a socialistic system. They want to destroy the private industry. That's the point.
Well, I don't think there should be corporations, or at least corporations should not last any longer, you know, than the, I don't know, a number, well, 20, 30
that's
years.
A, that's
because
a tough question.
People, you know, corporations are just, right now we're being run by corporations because they have too much power through the courts. It's just, and it allows them to bribe the, you know, the politicians. So anyway, I just wanted to throw in.
Well, that's a two-sided thing. And Brady, hang on, because I know that's your wheelhouse. It really depends. Having a big business, a corporation in that sense, is a good thing because it generates product. However, it's how it's, and this is where I'm going to hand off to Brady, it's how it is legally defined is the problem. Go ahead, Brady.
No, we don't have time for me to give the full spiel on corporations, but it's a great question, Sherry. And tune in to some of our other shows because we do go into a lot more depth on this topic. And like we could spend an hour just on this subject about what corporations are.
Maybe when we come back another time. But Sherry, what I was going to – two things. And it's self-promotion time for me. If you want to check out – because I do study money, go to my website. Check it out. FedEd, FEDED.US. I do classes on basic monetary system education. But what I wanted to talk about corporations is that there's this old saying, and I know it's old because I made it up, and that is, what could go wrong? What could go wrong if you leave the teenagers home alone for the weekend with the keys to the liquor cabinet, the Corvette, and the credit card? What could go wrong? Everything. If we're having problems at a federal or a state or a local government level, okay, teenagers are teenagers. Government officials are government officials. It is we, the people, that have to get back involved and stay involved. We didn't get here because somebody had some wacky idea and they said, oh, yeah, let's just do the Declaration of Independence. No, they battled over it. They wrote it. And 56 guys put their name on it, which was signing their death warrant. That's how involved they were. If we are having problems because we have allowed our governments to some degree or to a great degree to go rogue. A corporation is a tool. I never blame a tool for what the worker does with it. We have to go to who's responsible for misusing the tool. To me, corporations have a great ability to attract capital, money, so they can put it together to build the big factories or whatever that produce things. Because without that aggregation of money, you're not going to be able to create those kind of entities. So I don't blame the tool. I blame the worker. And we, the people, need to, excuse me, wake up, stand up, get involved, and stay involved. Sherry, thanks for being on the radio. Hope that helps. Are you there, or are you gone? Okay.
She looks like she's gone.
All right. Well, anyway, where were we? Thank you, Sherry, for calling in. We appreciate the conversation. Oh, we got another caller. Wow. Eric from Missouri.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
You're talking about incentives and working hard and getting this and that, but I think we all need a home, don't we? And does Sean Hannity, I mean, has he got an incentive? Maybe he owns 100 low-cost housing units and people pay him rent and the government subsidizes him for those. I mean, maybe the socialism sounds right, man. You just do what you like and do what you enjoy doing. If you're good at playing a musician or playing an instrument, play that. If you do what you love, everybody walks in love, maybe that socialism would work.
Well,
what is money anyway? Do we really need a monetary system?
Absolutely.
Well, where you lost me on that statement was the only part was the government gives them incentives. There's the problem right there. Everything else you said I'd agree with, but the government is giving him subsidies. He doesn't need them. If he's good at it, why does he need help?
Well, what,
I'm saying.
What authority in the Constitution granted the power to do that, Doug?
None, and because the Founding Fathers understood human nature and also the dangers of centralizing power. And the two together, when they're both allowed to operate, always create tyranny and starvation and collapse, always, when you allow human nature and government centralization of government to take place. Human nature has to be directed into self-interest. Self-interest then is going to make sure that I'm working hard so I can create my own home. If you start giving homes, the people who are working hard for homes quit working hard for them, and suddenly you've got everybody being given a home. And the whole market collapses. It's just like when it goes back to the don't feed the animals thing. You take away incentive if government subsidizes every time.
Yeah, and then going back to Sean Hannity example, if he's got 100 homes because he was subsidized, perhaps, you know, as much money as he's made over the years, maybe he can only afford 75. And so therefore, that's what he should buy and then rent them out at a market price. And I think what you'd find is much more affordable housing for everybody and a few more people owning those rental homes.
And then also, once you allow government to stick their foot in there, the subsidies suddenly start to reduce and the cost by government starts to go up, the regulations start to go up, and it winds up destroying itself anyway.
Well, Eric, I think part of the problem is that people aren't trained to know what they're good at so that they love their work. They've been bored with school, so they don't really have a skill and they don't know what they enjoy doing, so they're not good at something. And then I think that's part of the problem. If people found out what they really like and loved working at it,
that's a part of the process of growing up. Yeah, it's part of the process of growing up. You know, you do what you got to do when you're younger, and then once you finally get to a certain level of ability, then you can start going into what you love. I mean, I worked, I was in the Navy, I worked for a city, and then I was in construction for 20 years and drove a big rig as a part of that and did not like it. But now I do what I love. I'm a constitutionalist full time. It took time to get there. I couldn't be a constitutionalist when I was younger because I couldn't survive that way. I had to survive some other way first. Once I discovered what I want to do, then I worked towards that, set aside the money, and built my little ability to, you know, survive doing what I love, and now I'm there. Not everybody achieves that. Not everybody recognizes it, and that's a part of the competition of life. But that's just a part of growing up. As we grow up, we need to do what we got to do when we're younger, and then we hopefully get to what we want to do when we get older. Hopefully.
But government
doesn't incentivize that if they're just giving you everything. You don't look for what you want to do because they're just giving you enough to survive, and you go do that instead.
For me, Eric, I think people, to your point, I call it finding your purpose. When you find your purpose, you do it. It's what you want to do. It makes you happy, and that's great. But that's a personal journey. That's a commitment that needs to be supported by family, friends, community. When you, as Doug was saying, when you put more and more power into fewer and fewer hands, what do you get? You get a monarchy. You get a dictatorship because those entities never know when to stop taking. We have less than 4 minutes to go. Eric, I'm going to thank you for calling in. Call next time. Real quick, Brady, promote.
I am Brady, also known in some corners of the internet as Warhamster. You can find most of my content on Rumble, just Warhamster, one word. You can get me on Twitter at war_hamster1776 and on True Social at war_hamster.
Thank you. Douglas, in a minute.
Douglas, Douglas V. Gibbs, the V stands for victory, despite what Alan might tell you it means. DouglasVGibbs.com. That's where you can learn everything you can about me, read what I have to write, find some of the stuff I do, DouglasVGibbs.com, and I will be doing tours. I have videos. I'm also a constitution. I'm known as Mr. Constitution, DouglasVGibbs.com.
You ever on radio?
Oh, yeah, I got a couple of shows on Saturdays. You can talk about them. You're on one of them.
Saturdays, 1 to 3 p.m. West Coast time. Constitution Radio with Douglas V. Gibbs. That V stands for Virginia. His wife, not the state. And check it out. You can find it on the web, KMET 1490M, because that stands for America. Once again, I'm FedEd, FEDED.US for Basic Monetary System Education. And on Sundays, which doesn't compete with this show, on Patriot Soapbox, which you can find on the web, Sundays, 5 to 7 p.m. West Coast time, my show, For the Republic, because that's what it's about and that's what I'm about. Gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for being here today. Brady, last comment.
I'm just glad Doug could make it. It's been a while since we got on a show together, and thanks for having me on.
Glad to have you here. Thank you for the input. And we had two callers. That was very nice. Dougie, any last thoughts?
Yeah, Mr. Constitution Hour by Douglas V. Gibbs on podcast channels, too. Check it out and appreciate being here. I appreciate what you do and that fact you brought us together today. Thank you.
Oh, you're most welcome. All right, we have 1 minute left. So I'm going to thank you, gentlemen, for being here. It's a fast-paced hour with the breaks, but we're glad to be here. Listeners, support the channel. Hope you do. And I am going to sign out the way I sign out my shows. To all you good people out there, you lovers and defenders of liberty, freedom, rights, individuality, equality of opportunity for all, to all you patriots, yeah, you know who you are. Until next time, may you be and stay safe and well. So the Bad Boy of Radio, Brady, Alan, Doug, we say thank you for being here and look forward to the next time we get to share airtime with you. And thanks to our producer, Todd, for getting us here. Thank you, sir. Take care.
Is an independent radio show. We are funded by people who appreciate our work, not by ads or algorithms. Your support is key to the continuation of this broadcast. To show your support so that we can continue to bring you unbiased information that is now more vital than ever, please visit thepowerhour.com and click Support Us. You can also place a donation by phone by calling 877-817-9829. We thank you for any amount of support that you're able to give. For questions or comments about today's broadcast, please feel free to email us at support@thepowerhour.com or call 877-817-9829 and select option number 2. We'd love your show feedback and guest recommendations, so please feel free to reach out and be a part of the Power Hour team.